Welcome to the Boots on the Ground podcast, presented by The Mission Continues.
Welcome to the latest episode of the Boots on the Ground podcast, presented by The Mission Continues. I'm your host, David Alvarado, Army veteran and team member with The Mission Continues. On this episode, we're speaking with Lester Lumbad. Lester currently serves as a Las Vegas platoon leader for The Mission Continues and is the founder of the Southern Nevada Chamber of Commerce. His commitment to supporting veteran-owned businesses is driven by his own military background and the legacy of service in his family. Originally from San Diego, Lester's inspiration began with his father, a retired Navy Master Chief who began his service during the Vietnam War as part of a program for Filipinos to earn U.S. citizenship. Lester's own military journey saw him serving as an electronic warfare technician in the Air Force, with a career spanning 7 years, including a significant role in intelligence at the Air and Space Intelligence Center at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. With a strong belief in simplifying access to resources for veterans, Lester aims to foster success among veteran entrepreneurs, ensuring they have the visibility and support needed to thrive. His work is a testament to his dedication, his roots, and to the veteran community. Let's get on with the episode. Charlie Mike.
All right, Lester. Well, thank you so much for coming onto the show and for your time and, of course, for your service to our country. I want to start by having you share with us a little bit about your background. You know, tell us about where you grew up and how that led for you to join the military.
Yeah. So, no, thanks for asking. And thank you again for having me on your show. I'm born and raised in California. I grew up as part of a Navy family. My dad is a retired Master Chief from the Navy. And I always like to include his story as part of my own personal story, because his career in the Navy, it all started from Subic Bay Naval Station in the Philippines. And from him joining the Navy, that's actually how he came to the U.S. back in the early 70s, was by enlisting in the Navy. And then he ended up turning that opportunity into a 24-year career in the Navy, retired at, you know, at the highest level that he possibly could have, you know, as a E-9 in the Navy. And I was always very proud of that, even though, like, I started to understand how impactful what he did at a young age.
So tell us about any pivotal moments during the time in the Air Force, anything that really stuck out to you as like a learning opportunity or a learning moment.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I mean, I was in the Air Force for a little under 7 years, and the majority of my time was spent out in Texas. I was working on the flight line for the B-1s, the B-1B bombers, as an electronic warfare maintainer, you know, systems maintainer. But then the last almost 2 years of service, I was given an opportunity to take a position over at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base at the National Air and Space Intelligence Center. And that was a really pivotal experience for me because of the opportunities that it opened up for me going into my planned transition, because I was planning on leaving the service about 2 years at that point. And when that career opportunity presented itself in the Air Force, some of the things that it came along with was, you know, I had to have the willingness to undergo a SSBI background investigation for a top secret SCI clearance. And that was required for the job. And then just the nature of the job. I mean, it was, you know, not to go into a lot of detail, but, you know, like, it was in the intel sector of the Air Force, kind of utilizing my background in electronic warfare systems. And I'm tying all of those things together to kind of take a reverse engineering approach on understanding other countries' military equipment, combined with having a top secret SCI clearance, became extremely valuable to me in my transition coming out. I ended up moving to Washington, D.C. after service, and my employment transition went really smoothly and really quickly because those things that the Air Force equipped me with, you know, especially in those last 2 years of service, you know, coming out, going into a tech-heavy corridor in our country, you know, so many different opportunities, and I happened to have the right things that I was equipped with because of that last assignment to be set up to be successful. So
let's talk about your transition. Why exactly did you decide to leave the military? And you spoke about some of the things that you learned, security clearance and so on, that helped you in that transition. Can you go into a little bit of some depth into that? Like, how would a soldier who is wanting to leave the military? How would they kind of follow your path?
Well, so for me personally, a big part of the reason why I decided to leave service was because my wife, you know, we were newly married at the time, and she had decided to join the military for the purpose of pursuing school, pursuing medical school. So she was actually coming into the service as my commitment was ending. And the whole joint spouse piece of, you know, that whole of military lifestyle, just from seeing other families around me that were in that situation, I knew that it was very difficult to try and manage, you know, so I knew if we were going to go forward, especially as a newly married couple, that there's going to be a lot of difficulty there that probably didn't need to be necessary. So like I wanted to avoid that as much as possible. And, you know, like I said, I felt confident that, you know, I could take what I had been given and what was developed during those years in service and turn it into a successful transition. And it worked out really well. And I ended up working for Raytheon as a senior systems engineer on the defense contracting side immediately after service. And I think I was unemployed for about 4 days and then jumped into a new position. But a lot of that came from advanced preparation, far in advance. I knew that this was something that I was planning for. And I spent basically an entire 2 year period being diligent and researching employers and different opportunities that I wanted to pursue, really interviewing for positions and job openings, probably at a point where it was really too early for me to even realistically accept those positions, you know, but I was doing it anyway, just to kind of build conversation and build dialogue with employers that I wanted to engage with. So that way, when the time came for me to actually be offered something, you know, then that dialogue was already happening. So,
well, I got to give a shout out to RTX, who are a mission sponsor for the organization. The Mission Continues. They fund us, and they funded a project out in Hartford, Connecticut. So just got to give a huge shout out to them. They also have employees who come out to our projects regularly. So kind of like shifting gears, how did you, once you transitioned out of the military, and from what you're saying, it was successful, it was kind of a smooth transition. How did you fall into sort of veteran advocacy, community sort of volunteering and leadership? How did you get into that journey?
Yeah, great question. So really, you know, again, on a personal level, what ended up happening was, you know, again, kind of going back to the whole situation of me being, you know, in the defense contracting space for about 7 years, you know, and holding a clearance. And then from there, once my wife's military commitment began after school and residency was complete, then we moved overseas. Then we moved to Tokyo for 3 years. And then for 3 years after that, we moved to the United Kingdom. So during that time, because I was not utilizing my security clearance, that security clearance was then not active, and I ended up losing my clearance. So once we came back to CONUS here to Las Vegas at Nellis Air Force Base for her to finish up her commitment, I was in a position where I had to choose a new path. You know, I really wasn't going to go back to the working in classified work space, and I just had to pursue a different path. So actually, entrepreneurship, small business, that was something that I felt like would be the best fit, because we have four children. You know, managing our family with four kids and two parents with a 9-to-5 is probably not going to work out very well, you know. So I had to have that flexibility. So I started to look into different things that I could become involved with on the entrepreneurship side. And I started to seek out resources and available programs in the community that I could connect with. And I had a lot of difficulty finding the right resources. So what ended up happening was I ended up starting a separate nonprofit organization that's called the Southern Nevada Veterans Chamber of Commerce out here in Las Vegas. And that happened back in 2021. And, you know, it had a lot of positive traction. It still does. It's engaged and connected with pretty much all of the key veteran resource groups in our community. And that was what led me to the Mission Continues. I was introduced, you know, to a person who's a good friend of mine now. His name is Julian Serrano. He's worked for the Mission Continues for a long time. And he told me of him being someone from here in Las Vegas and knowing the impact of a group like the Mission Continues, but not having a Las Vegas platoon, was something that he really wanted to change. And as him and I became friends and we got to know each other, I started to understand more of what he was talking about, but then also how that could add a lot of value to our community and what I was doing with the development of the Southern Nevada Veterans Chamber of Commerce, specifically in getting local small businesses engaged in doing work in the community, you know, because not to say that for any other superficial reason of adding value to the community, but businesses do want to engage with the community and show that they're adding value to the community. I wanted to be able to provide a platform to do that in an organic way. And the Mission Continues kind of came along with perfect timing at the right time. And, you know, said, hey, this is what we do. We have resources. We have a budget to execute on these things. All you have to do is get people together. And I was in a position to do that. So that's really how it came about.
Wow. It sounds like a brilliant way to both serve the community and serve the business and do it in a way that you described as organic. You know, yeah. It's very unique way. And it's, I think it really goes to show how connected you have to be in the community to really serve the community. And I got to give a shout out to Julian. He's our IT director here with the Mission Continues. When he joined, we joined more or less around the same time. You know, he spoke for about a year about, you know, I'm going to bring a platoon to Vegas. I'm going to bring a platoon here, you know, and he made it happen. He really did. And, you know, it's just got to give a huge shout out to Julian. He's amazing. So can you talk about some of the projects that you've done in the Vegas area or in the Southern Nevada area, you know, broadly or specifically, you know, who are some of the community partners that you work with?
Yeah, absolutely. So again, kind of pulling from those community relationships that were already in place, some of the groups that we've come to work with regularly are U.S. Vets, Las Vegas. I sit on their community advisory council, so I had like some direct insight into some of the needs that they had at not only at the facility, but also with their programming and then how we could collaborate and, you know, find ways to add value with them. There's also another group out here that I'm great friends with and I admire what they do a ton. Their organization is called the Shine a Light Foundation, which a lot of people aren't aware, even here locally in Las Vegas, a lot of people aren't aware that there is an entire homeless population that lives underground, literally underground in the drainage tunnels of Las Vegas. You know, it's a heartbreaking thing to see, you know, people living that way and being willing to live that way or just living on the streets in general. And what the Shine a Light Foundation does is they put together care packages every week and then they go out on a Saturday morning, every single Saturday morning, 52 Saturdays a year, and they go out into the tunnels in teams and distribute these care packages. Not necessarily only for the purpose of distributing care packages and providing people with water and granola bars and things like that, but also, you know, mainly using that as a bridge, I guess, in conversation to let those people know who are living underground, let them know that they haven't been forgotten, and letting them know that there are resources that are available to them that groups like the Shine a Light Foundation can plug them into and help them take that first step and getting back on their feet. So we've done a lot with them in terms of helping them to enhance their supplies with those care packages that they build. You know, obviously it gets very hot here in Las Vegas during the summertime and water is a big need. Bottled water is a big need. So we've been able to assist Shine a Light Foundation with making sure that they're fully stocked up and they're, you know, they have available people to build out those care packages with things like bottled water and other supply needs. We've also done some projects with the Southern Nevada Veterans Memorial Cemetery over in Boulder City, particularly in parts of the year, you know, before Memorial Day and Veterans Day and before the Wreaths Across America ceremony in December, where there might be a need for some additional landscaping support over there at the cemetery. And landscaping staffing is an issue for them right now, you know, like being shorthanded. So, you know, we've just been able to find ways to bring others in the community, whether it's from the veteran community or the veteran supporter community in general, to help lead projects like that and just, you know, providing some manpower to help them with their landscaping. So yeah, those are some of the things that we've done. We're a relatively new platoon. We've only been in existence really for, you know, like I said, maybe about the last year and a half during the course of development with the Southern Nevada Veterans Chamber, all of that kind of came together. So a lot of things have happened in a short period of time. Yeah.
It sounds like you've done a lot of work in a short time and it's very impactful work. And it, it's very real work. You know, somebody who lives in Los Angeles, yeah, the homeless population is something that, you know, it's very real down here. And it's heartbreaking to see. It is, because it's a population of people that are forgotten and kind of cast aside. And it's very easy for you to just, you know, keep moving on with your life and keep looking forward. But, you know, it's not a whole lot of people who are willing to dedicate time and resources into helping, you know, homeless people, especially homeless veterans. So thank you for leading veterans and volunteers in that kind of work. It's amazing. So I do want to ask, what does it take for you to actually organize these things? You know, I'm talking about like talking to people, sending emails, the sort of skills that you need. Can you kind of describe what that work is like?
Yeah. So, you know, like, I mean, it definitely takes nothing too crazy, but a decent level of, you know, that there is a certain level of commitment that goes into it, obviously, you know, like as far as coordination and talking to the different community partners and really understanding what their needs are on level of detail to where we're making sure that we're adding value. You know, like we don't want to walk into their facility and just kind of assume that we can solve problems for them based on our own perception. It has to come from detailed communication with them. And that just takes a little bit of time, you know, asking the right questions, you know, and just being aware of what they're showing us and how we can provide some solutions. But, you know, again, a lot of that just comes from, you know, some open organic dialogue, you know, and building a relationship with them too, to where they feel comfortable with communicating those things openly and transparently. And then, you know, aside from that, again, having that same level of dialogue and transparency with other partners around the community on the corporate side to find how they might be able to provide additional support, maybe monetary support or additional manpower, you know, like and finding ways to get other groups engaged. And but, you know, because of technology, thankfully, you know, like we have email, we have other, you know, modes of communication that makes a lot of that communication a little easier and efficient in a lot of ways. So, you know, we can get a lot done now, you know, because of those things. So
for military men and women, the desire to serve is in their core. Yet when they come home, their potential remains untapped. We're building a movement of veterans and volunteers to transform neighborhoods. We go beyond community service. We're a catalytic force driving lasting impact across the country. We are the Mission Continues. To serve alongside us or donate, visit missioncontinues.org.
So shifting gears, I want to ask, you know, you can choose to do anything, right? Why do you choose this volunteer leadership and advocacy? You know, what does it do for you personally? And why do you choose to continue serving your country in this way?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. Thank you. So really, it kind of, again, not to sound dramatic or, you know, or anything, but it really kind of goes back to what I was saying about my dad, you know, and like his story and also other parts of just my family's story in general. You know, like I said, my wife, she joined the military for the purpose of pursuing medical school, which was a career path that she had dreamed about her entire life. And then my dad, he had joined the Navy and was given the opportunity to come to the United States and pave the way for our entire family. He actually ended up petitioning for all five of his siblings and my grandparents to also come to San Diego from the Philippines. And the Navy was able to provide that opportunity. Well, they were the initial reason why that opportunity was provided to them. Two of his brothers that he petitioned to come to San Diego also ended up joining the Navy. Three of them actually did. And two of them retired from the Navy. So I say all of that because my family has personally benefited in so many different ways from opportunities that were presented to us even before I was born. I wouldn't even be here in the U.S. had my dad not been given that opportunity to join the military and serve, you know. And my wife, she wouldn't have been able to pursue the career path that she has now and being successful in what she's doing. So because of that, like what everything, whether it's the Mission Continues or the Southern Nevada Veterans Chamber of Commerce or the Emerging Vets and Players Program or any other program that I engage with out here in the community, it's all a way for me to, you know, just to you know, just show some appreciation and, you know, express my gratitude, you know, for those opportunities that have benefited my family, you know, and it's just, it's very fulfilling because I get to bring in other people in the community that probably feel the same way, you know, maybe not the same exact story, but a lot of them are just as passionate, whether they're veterans or not. You know, like there's a lot of veterans in our community that are very passionate. There's a lot of veterans who may not even be aware of the resources that are available to them. And there's a lot of civilian veteran supporters in the community that just want to find a way to engage, you know, and just trying to be a part of finding a way to connect all of those things is just something that I get a lot of enjoyment out of. So,
well, so speaking about some of the programs that you also engage with, what are some of the issues that are affecting veterans today, and how do we go about solving them?
I mean, there's a lot of issues that exist in our community. You know, we could talk like all day about, you know, all the issues that are there that people need to be aware of. I would say the first ones that come to mind, people who transition from the service and not necessarily knowing or being aware of all the different resources and programs and, you know, all these things that are available to us in the community that we're not aware of. You know, you come out and there's a million different resources that are available to us. And it's just a matter of knowing, you know, who to talk to and how to navigate that process. You know, whether it has to do with taking care of your mental health or your physical wellness or your, you know, your service-connected disability and your disability ratings and taking care of that part of your life, or your, you know, career skills transition and making sure that you fall into the right employment situation that's going to not only help you take care of your family, but also be something that's sustainable and being that right fit, right? Because a lot of people might spend 25 years of their life in the military doing something that may not be the thing that they want to continue doing outside of the military. And it needs to be sustainable for them. And being able to identify that path is mental health related, right? So like a lot of it ties together directly. And, you know, being able to be aware of the programs that are available to us that can actually serve us and add value to our community, I think that's probably the biggest thing. But then when we break that down and we figure out things like, you know, again, like mental health, like how do we approach that? You know, there are great groups like The Mission Continues. I love the approach that The Mission Continues takes to where there's a peer support element to what we're doing when we bring people together for the purpose of organizing and executing a service project or a service event. And we're able to contribute value to the community through that event. But what comes from that is relationships, right? And peer support that can extend beyond that service event and help veterans that were involved in any of those events provide support to each other in a social way. You know, and there's dozens of different versions of that, whether it's service event oriented or, you know, I'm also the program manager for the Emerging Vets and Players program out here in Las Vegas. And it's one of the most impactful programs that I've ever seen in my life, you know, and that was the reason why I took a role with them. And but they, instead of service events, they meet weekly for working, you know, working out, fitness oriented programming, you know, and team building that way. But then there's other programs that do things like hunting and fishing and all these different activities, right? So that way we don't necessarily need a clinician to tell us about what our problems are, but then it's just having people available to us in a casual, informal setting, you know, where and all of us come from common backgrounds and common experiences, and we can support each other in a positive way and also do something positive together too, you know? So I think, you know, from a mental health standpoint, physical wellness standpoint, all those things, there are a lot of programs that are available to us as veterans that we can benefit from, but it's just a matter of knowing about them. And so that way we can benefit, right? So.
Yeah. Sometimes it can be kind of overwhelming. You know, when you leave, I remember when I left the military, I left with a huge binder of flyers in, you know, and I'm just flipping through them like I don't even know where to start, you know. So certainly I think outreach and getting better at that outreach is a challenge that we're trying to get better at every day. So is there any other, you know, point or message that you want to leave with our listeners today? Anything that really you're passionate about?
I mean, I would say, you know, if anything, I know it's kind of a general way to say this, but just, you know, engage with the programs in your community, no matter where you're located. Engage with those programs, whether they're through events or whether they're through just finding the right person to speak to. So then that way you can get better interconnected with everything else that's available in the community. You know, like that's really been a heavy focus, a heavy area of focus for me. And, you know, like I said earlier, with the Southern Nevada Veterans Chamber of Commerce, 50% of it is focused around business development. The other 50% is focused around ecosystem development and trying to bring all those resources together. So, you know, we want to try to make that whole process easier to, you know, identify who are the right people to speak to, which resources are the right ones to connect with. But I think that can be done in any community, in any city. You know, it's just a matter of engaging and taking that first step and finding the right programs to connect with. And, you know, I think the worst thing that any of us could do is just stay at home and sit on the couch and, you know, just kind of think about the things that we are not doing, you know, like just get out of the house and find something to get into. So.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like a great place to leave it. Lester, thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your service to our country. I greatly appreciate it. I hope you keep doing what you're doing and continuing your service to our country. Really, from the bottom of our heart, we appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that, David. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We are The Mission Continues. We invest in veterans and under-resourced communities, developing new skill sets and equipping a growing veteran volunteer movement with the tools to drive positive change. To find more resources and to get involved, visit us at missioncontinues.org. See you on the next episode of the Boots on the Ground podcast, presented by The Mission Continues. Charlie, Mike, continue the mission.